Welcome to this week's Real AI podcast, based on the first and most popular weekly newsletter about real estate and artificial intelligence for real estate agents and brokers. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI guy, and these are the highlights from this week's Real AI newsletter for the week of March 23rd, 2026. Now, here are your AI hosts, Miles and Grace.
What if I told you that the smartest, most advanced tool on your computer right now, like the one you're probably using to write emails or draft reports,
right?
What if you're holding it completely backwards?
I mean, it's highly likely.
Right. You're essentially taking a supercomputer, something with the processing power to literally map the human genome, and you're just using it to do the job of a basics spell checker.
Yeah, a really expensive spell checker.
Exactly. And worse, it might actually be costing you your competitive edge.
I am absolutely thrilled you're here with us today because we are looking at a paradigm shift that affects literally every single one of you out there trying to navigate your daily work.
It really is a profound trap to fall into. And honestly, it's a very understandable one.
Oh, totally.
Because when we face the kind of intense information overload we're seeing in the tech space right now, our brains naturally default to, you know, the most obvious surface level applications of any new tool just to survive the day, really. Yeah, just trying to get to inbox zero. And to figure out how to flip this tool around, we're pulling from a really fascinating stack of sources today. We are looking closely at the March 23rd, 2026 edition of the Real AI newsletter.
Which is fantastic, by the way.
It is. It's the real estate industry's leading weekly source of news on artificial intelligence. And it's put together by AI educators Kevin Hawkins and Corey Hawkins.
Right.
And we're also bringing in exclusive data from the RPR 2026 AI Adoption Survey, plus a whole batch of just wild industry headlines from this exact same week.
There are so many.
So many. Our mission for this deep dive is to basically extract the ultimate aha moments about how professionals are fundamentally misunderstanding AI and to give you a shortcut to using what we're going to call amplified intelligence in your own life.
I think it's important to set the stage right up front for you listening, though. While our primary sources today are deeply rooted in real estate, I want you to look entirely past the industry labels.
That's a great point.
Because the core psychological insights we're exploring here, they apply to anyone who needs to communicate clearly or manage high-stress situations or, you know, navigate complex human emotions.
Which is all of us.
Exactly. Whether you're selling a commercial property or managing a remote tech team or just trying to draft a really delicate email to your neighborhood HOA.
Ugh, the worst.
Right. The underlying mechanics of what we're discussing today are entirely universal.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because the central thesis from Kevin Hawkins in this newsletter, it just stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah.
He argues that most agents, and by extension, most professionals in any field, really are using AI backwards.
Yes.
They treat it purely as a content tool at the very end of their workflow. Like, you do all the heavy cognitive lifting, you figure out your strategy, and then you just throw some bullet points at the AI and say, write a post or, you know, generate a listing description.
It becomes the final coat of paint on a house that has already been built and framed by you.
Right. And the data totally backs up this behavior. Like, according to the RPR 2026 AI Adoption Survey, a staggering 68% of agents say they primarily use AI just for writing listing descriptions.
Wow.
Yeah. And 47% use chatbots or AI assistants as their main tool. But, and I have to push back on this premise for just a second here.
Go for it.
Isn't that exactly what these generative text models were built for? I mean, writing those descriptions is tedious work.
It is.
So if I can use a supercomputer to be a fast, eloquent copywriter and save myself an hour, isn't that still a highly valid, successful use of the technology?
Well, what's fascinating here is the critical distinction between editing and leverage.
Okay.
I'm not saying automating tedious work is bad. The AI can absolutely act as your high-powered copywriter. But consider the timeline of your work.
Right.
If you are only bringing AI into the equation after the critical thinking is already done, after you've, you know, priced the assets, set the negotiation strategy, and had the difficult conversations, you're completely missing its true value.
Oh, I see.
You're focusing entirely on how something sounds rather than figuring out what actually needs to be said.
That sounds great in theory, but what does that actually look like in practice? Like, break down editing versus leverage for me.
Okay, think about a concrete high-stakes scenario. Let's say you receive a demanding late-night email from a really difficult client who wants to back out of a contract.
We've all been there.
Right. So using AI for editing looks like this. You get angry, you decide you're going to enforce the contract no matter what. You hastily type out your rigid demands, and then you ask the AI to make this sound professional and polite.
Just smooth out the rough edges.
Exactly. The AI fixes your grammar and softens the tone. That is editing. You save maybe 5 minutes, but the underlying strategy forcing the client into a corner remains exactly the same.
I see. So the AI just put a nice bow on a terrible strategy.
Yes.
So what does leverage look like then?
Leverage is bringing the AI in before you make a single decision.
Before.
Right. You take that angry client email, you drop it into the AI,
yeah,
and you say, look, I'm dealing with a client who wants to break contract. Here is the history of our deal.
Yeah.
Here are their stated goals.
Giving it all the context.
Exactly. Analyze this email and tell me what their actual underlying fear is, and give me three different negotiation strategies to keep them at the table without conceding our main points.
Oh, wow.
The AI processes the variables, identifies that the client isn't actually angry, but is, say, panicked about interest rates, and it suggests a strategic response you hadn't even considered.
That's incredible.
That is leverage. Okay. You are multiplying your cognitive capability to change the actual outcome of the deal.
Oh, man. We're using it to finalize the product when we really should be using it to engineer the solution.
Exactly.
Which leads us perfectly to the actual hardest part of any business. It's not the writing. It's the people.
Always.
Navigating human beings is messy.
Without a doubt. I mean, human emotion is the single most complex, unpredictable variable in any transaction.
And this brings us to one of my absolute favorite parts of the sources today. The newsletter outlines this real-world scenario from a 7-day AI challenge.
Right, the MLS coursework.
Yeah, this is a coursework program that MLS's multiple listing services are hosting to train agents. And they did this incredible experiment.
So good.
They took a real-world, highly frustrated, emotional text thread from a client, you know, the kind, all caps, highly reactive, threatening to walk away.
Oh, we know it well.
Right. And they dropped it into ChatGPT Business to analyze it. Now, the newsletter specifically notes that ChatGPT Business is the safest version they recommend. Why is that specific version so crucial here before we get into the results?
It comes down to data privacy, which is absolutely paramount when you're dealing with sensitive client situations.
Makes sense.
When you use the standard free versions of most LLMs, the data you input can potentially be absorbed and used to train future versions of the model.
So it's out there.
Yeah. If you drop a client's messy financial details or personal disputes into a free tool, you're essentially leaking their private data into the ether.
Yikes.
Right. But the business or enterprise tiers create a walled garden. They do not train their underlying models on your inputs. So your client's freakout remains entirely confidential.
That is a crucial distinction. Thank you for clarifying that. So, okay, they put this private, volatile text thread into the secure AI. And this is where I get a little skeptical.
Okay, let's hear it.
How on earth does a text prediction machine read the room better than an experienced human being? Honestly, isn't it incredibly risky to let an algorithm handle volatile human emotion? It feels like we are inviting a robot to a knife fight.
I totally understand the skepticism. It sounds so counterintuitive to ask a machine to parse human feeling.
Right.
But this is where the concept of amplified intelligence really shines.
Yeah.
You have to understand how these models work. The AI isn't just looking at the literal dictionary definition of the words on the screen. It's trained on massive, incomprehensibly large data sets of human interaction, conflict, resolution, and psychology.
So it's seen it all before.
Exactly. So when you prompt it to interpret the subtext, it is mapping the client's word choices against millions of similar semantic patterns.
So it's identifying patterns of behavior that are basically invisible to the naked eye.
Yes. And the aha moment for the professionals in this coursework was that the AI could objectively separate anxiety from aggression.
Wow.
You could look at the cadence of the text, the specific phrasing, and determine, hey, this client isn't genuinely defensive. They are exhibiting classic signs of overwhelming anxiety.
That's huge.
Or, you know, this client isn't actively resistant to your strategy. They are deeply confused by the complex terminology you used in your previous message.
That is mind-blowing, because the difference between anxiety and defensiveness requires totally different responses.
Completely different.
If you treat an anxious person like they're attacking you, the deal just blows up.
And that is exactly why this matters so deeply for you, the listener. Think about the biology of what happens when you receive a combative email.
Oh, my heart rate spikes immediately.
Right. Your heart rate elevates. Your amygdala kicks in. That's the fear center of your brain. you experience what psychologists call an amygdala hijack.
Amygdala hijack. I love that term.
You are emotionally reactive because you're a human being. In a heated moment, your first instinct is usually to defend your ego or meticulously explain why the other person is entirely wrong.
The classic passive-aggressive per my last email response. We have all sent it.
We all have. But an AI doesn't have a central nervous system.
Right.
It doesn't have an ego to defend. It doesn't get offended when a client uses all caps. It serves as an incredibly effective buffer.
Just totally neutral.
Exactly. It removes just enough of the emotional charge from the situation to let your actual professional experience do its job. The AI doesn't replace the agent's judgment. It clears the emotional fog.
It says, look, the client is terrified of making a financial mistake. Talk to the fear, not the anger. Precisely.
It's like having a perfectly rational, highly observant co-pilot sitting next to you who just never loses their cool.
And returning to our earlier point, that requires bringing the AI in at the beginning of the problem.
Right, the leverage part.
Yes. Huh. You use it as a strategic sounding board to navigate the human element before you ever type a single word of your response.
Okay, so if AI is this an incredible at emotional de-escalation, and it can act as this objective, calming co-pilot, why is everybody so terrified of it?
Well,
because we have this massive contradiction in the data from our sources today. On one hand, the RPR survey shows 63% of agents realize AI's strongest value is improving communication. They get it.
I do.
But then, on the exact same week, we have a Redfin News study showing that 3 in 5 Americans fear AI could replace jobs and actually make it harder to afford homes.
Hmm.
So what does this all mean?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the fear comes from a fundamental misunderstanding of how this specific technology impacts the labor market.
There's a brilliant headline from Housing Wire in our sources that synthesizes this perfectly. It says, AI won't replace real estate agents, but it will widen the gap between average and elite.
But wait, let me challenge that for a second.
Sure.
Isn't the public's fear totally justified? I mean, if an elite professional can now use AI to do the work of 5 people, processing data, writing strategies, managing client emotions, won't brokerages and companies just hire fewer people? Job loss seems like a very rational fear.
I see where you're coming from, but we have to look at what the technology is actually replacing.
Okay.
The 3 in 5 Americans who are afraid are likely picturing a factory floor scenario.
Yeah.
You know, robot comes in, pulls the lever faster than the human, and the human gets fired.
Right. The classic automation fear.
Exactly. But in relationship-driven industries, the product isn't a pulled lever. The product is trust.
Oh, that's good.
The professionals who are going to win in this new landscape are not going to be the ones churning out the highest volume of automated emails. If you're an average professional, you might use AI to write 100 mediocre listing descriptions an hour. You are just increasing the noise.
You're just using the expensive spell checker at scale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the elite professionals, they are going to use AI to slow down. Yes. They will use it to spend 20 minutes perfectly crafting one highly nuanced negotiation strategy that saves a fragile deal.
Quality over quantity.
The elite are going to use AI to raise the bar on client expectations, delivering a level of calm, strategic communication that an average professional simply cannot replicate.
Wow.
So the gap widens, not because the elite are doing the work of 5 people, but because they are delivering a quality of insight that makes the average professional look entirely obsolete by comparison.
I love that framing. Amplifying intelligence to increase quality, not just replacing effort to increase volume.
Precisely.
And honestly, this widening gap between the average and the elite is creating what feels like a total wild west of consumer expectations right now.
Oh, definitely.
The headlines we have in the sources from just this one week in March 2026 are chaotic. It is a bizarre landscape out there. And I want to spend some time unpacking a few of these because they perfectly illustrate what happens when people misunderstand this tool.
Let's hear them. It really is a fascinating snapshot of the culture right now.
Here's where it gets really interesting. First, from PC Mag, we have a massive feature on the 7 dead giveaways to spot AI writing.
Survival guides.
Right. We literally need survival guides to catch machine text. Then, from Yahoo, we have a story on house phishing.
Oh boy.
Yeah. This is where realtors and landlords are using AI image generators to make homes look significantly better, brighter, and newer in online listings than they actually are in real life.
A deeply problematic trend.
Then from Fast Company, we have a breakdown of Canva's new Magic Layers tool. It takes flat AI-generated images and turns them into fully editable design files.
Incredible tech.
It is. Then, from Mashable, a headline that reads, Florida man uses ChatGPT to sell his home.
Of course it's a Florida man.
Always. Proving AI is empowering everyday consumers, but the article warns heavily against over-reliance. And finally, just as a bonus level of wild from Variety, Val Kilmer, resurrected by AI to star in As Deep as the Grave movie.
Wow.
And the real AI newsletter asks the proper question about that one. Creepy or cool?
It is a lot to take in, but every single one of those headlines points to the exact same underlying tension in the market.
Well, let's talk about the Yahoo headline about house fishing, because I instantly compared this to modern dating apps.
Oh, that's a perfect comparison.
Right. You see a profile, the lighting is perfect, the person looks amazing, and then you meet them for coffee and realize they used heavily filtered photos from 5 years ago.
Yep.
Now we are doing that with real estate. You show up to an open house expecting this sun-drenched, meticulously staged mansion, and you find out the living room is tiny and overlooks a power plant.
That is a brilliant analogy, and let's take that a step further. What happens the moment you sit down for that coffee date and realize you've been deceived?
Oh, trust is instantly broken. The date is effectively over before you even order.
Precisely. And in a business context, if the initial AI-generated profile of a property doesn't match the physical reality, the transaction fails. All of these headlines, from house fishing to resurrecting actors, are perfect illustrations of the danger of using AI backwards.
Because they are all focusing on surface-level outputs.
Yes. Think about the Canva Magic Layers tool you mentioned. Mechanically, what it does is astonishing.
Right.
It takes a flat JPEG, just a single layer of pixels, and the AI identifies a lamp, a couch, the background, and dynamically separates them into distinct, movable vector layers.
It's like unbaking a cake.
It really is. It's an incredible technical achievement. But if professionals use tools like that purely for visual manipulation or generating sheer volume without substance, it inevitably breeds consumer paranoia.
Ah, which is why we need the PC Mag article.
Exactly. That is exactly why PC Mag has to publish guides on the 7 dead giveaways to spot AI.
We are creating all this deceptive AI content on one hand, and then on the other hand, we have to build guides to protect ourselves from the very environment we just created.
It is the ultimate paradox. When you use AI to create a facade, whether it's an impossibly perfect living room or a digitally resurrected actor, you are deceiving the eye.
Deceiving the eye, okay.
But when you use AI at the beginning of the process, as a strategic partner to understand your client's needs and de-escalate tension, you are engaging the mind.
Wow.
One path destroys trust, the other builds it.
Right you are, Miles. And that's this week's Real AI Podcast. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and until next week, keep it real!